And we are live. Troy Francis and James Tusk in the house, coming at you.
Yes, Tusk, good to be back, sir. Good to be back in the arse end of Brazil. In the arse end of Brazil.
Are you still in the same town where you were yesterday? I guess you probably are. Right?
It's a very sleepy, slow town, and it's kind of a trucking town. So you get all these big like petrol lorries coming through, and everyone looking like everyone's got like it's kind of the equivalent of like Rednecksville, really, but for Brazil. It's quite interesting though. Fun to
what are the ladies like there?
I mean, they've got more chins than Mr. M's fucking catch of the days. They've got more chins than the Chinese phone book, these people. I mean, they're not the best looking. It's probably the worst collection of women I've seen in a long time.
Oh, really? That's disappointing.
Yeah, they're awful. I mean, Brazil's a really interesting place because it's a massive country. You go to some place and they're just, some of the women, like the last city, like kind of big city we're at in, or town, called Campo Grande, the women were phenomenal. A massive gringo factor because there's no foreigners. But this place is full of kind of rednecks, you know, and it's just on to the next place tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed it's going to be better. And then back to São Paulo in a few days, which will be good for a week. And then obviously back to London for Christmas. And then, obviously after that, the big one, 4th to the 7th of April, Bogota, hopefully rejoining force with you and running a crazy boot camp. So it'll be very cool.
When you say Christmas, do you actually mean Easter? Or do you mean...
Sorry. Easter.
I've been on detox.
I haven't fucking done anything of... life's very boring. It's almost like I've joined AA.
You're kind of keeping it clean.
Keeping it very clean, because I know Bogota is going to be blood, sweat and beers, as it always is. So
yeah,
detox.
Absolutely. So for guys out there wondering, if you would like to join us. So basically, there's a couple of things going on. We've got our course, our online course, The Edge 3, which is opening. We're basically starting it this week. We're starting on Friday. So you can do the online course only, which is basically pre-recorded material, which you'll get access to all of it, plus all the previous webinars that we did. And there was loads of amazing information in that. And you get access to just a whole slew of different webinars. We're doing about two a week for like 12 weeks, basically. It's a 12-week program with us, plus a host of experts talking about things like hormone optimization, fitness, combat sports. You're even talking a bit about hallucinogenics this time, aren't you? And there's just loads, you know, people who've been in the day game industry for a long time teaching about cold approach. There's loads and loads of amazing value. That is only £579. You can still join that. We are working with the guys already doing preliminary tasks in WhatsApp groups, but the course itself hasn't actually started yet. So you can still join that. All you have to do, I put it in the chat, email me, troy@realtroyfrancis.com. or info@jamestusk.com, and then we can get you on board. And then the other thing is that we've got a boot camp which is coming up in Bogota, Colombia, from the 4th to the 7th of April, which is it was first open, I guess, mainly for students from the course, and we would recommend that you do the online course. But equally, you know, if you want to come out and charge around and have a fucking amazing time, and you want to do that just as a thing in its own right, you can also do that. So, and what's the cost for that currently? That's £2,797, isn't it?
£2,797, down £1,000 from the usual bootcamp cost. And it's going to be 20 hours of day game, bar game, nightclub game, and grey area apps. It's 10 students, 5 coaches. It's going to be a blast. We've been going to Bogota for on and off for 7 years now, so we know the city like the back of our hands. Very, very hot-blooded, promiscuous Latina women. Very low level of foreigners, so you have the shiny object syndrome. It's sexual market economics galore, you know, basically playing the game to the best for us, because we're swanning in as kind of the attractive shiny objects. All the foreigners in Colombia tend to cluster to Medellin. Bogota has a very low amount of gringos, so yeah. You really are, when you're playing the shiny object, the women are looking to hook up with you, put themselves in harm's way, for want of a better phrase. And yeah, we know the place very well. We know all the best day game spots, bar game spots. We're going to be taking guys out for all of it. And it's a really, really good crew of guys as usual, and a good group of trainers as well. So I'm excited. It's going to be fucking sick.
You got,
because it always got, is 4th to the 7th of April. We've still got 3 places remaining.
And because you've got David coming out to that as well, isn't he?
David, the ex-RSD coach, and another guy called Joe. Very cool guy, Australian guy, who helped me out in the São Paulo boot camp. Very relaxed, very casual, you know, chill guy. And we've got potentially a kind of a trainee coach helping out as well. So a really good crew of trainers and a solid group of guys. It's going to be really fun.
Bogota is just such a great place to learn about this stuff and to really understand this stuff. It's fucking just a phenomenal city.
Or are you going to branch out and move on to somewhere
else? I'm not sure yet. I might possibly branch out. Actually, I need to. I mean,
yeah, I've washed my hands of.
Have you?
To stay in the yeah,
I think you're too well known. I think you're too well known there, though, aren't you? It's sort of like after the umpteenth time of you coming in at, 7 a.m. with, various things going on, they're probably kind of...
it was kind of hero status to begin, and then it kind of went into, the fall from grace mode of just, kind of dirty looks, and it's not what you want from a hotel, right? It's just like, I don't need to be here anymore. I think I've outstayed my welcome.
It was a little bit like that in Warsaw as well, isn't it? Really, I mean, they're kind of humorous for a bit, and then it all becomes like the joke's not funny anymore. It's a bit like
I love the logistics of these places, like the place in Warsaw and Bogota, where you've got the brilliant logistics of having a bar in the venue, and then you can kind of take the girls to your room. But yeah, I think I've just spent too long in these places, and it's got almost like this kind of faux celebrity thing, but not in a good way, because they've seen me in all sorts of hedonistic states, and it's just it's a bit embarrassing, really. So time to move on.
Anyway, if you do decide to come to Bogota, we know the right areas. I mean, James has been going there for years. I've been there several times now myself, so I know it pretty well. We know the right areas. We'll get you into the right area. As long as you're in basically one of the areas we recommend, you'll be absolutely fine. And we'll show you all the best places to go, etc. So yeah, it's going to be fucking awesome. I titled the stream today, let's be honest, most guys deserve to fail in the dating game, which is obviously a little bit of a provocative title, but I was thinking because maybe we go off onto a little bit of a rant about this, because we talk about this quite a lot offline, don't we? And it's obviously it sounds very harsh, and it kind of is harsh. But what it seems to me is that a lot of attention in this space gets put on to women and women's behavior, and women's expectations are so high. And if you're not 6'7" and you're not making six figures and you 6-inch dick minimum and all of that shit, then you're fucked, or you're not fucked, as the case may be. And a lot of the sort of blame is put onto the women, and it's like, they should know their place, they should just be more realistic, and blah blah blah. And all of that is true, because you've got this global dating marketplace and they've got all of this choice and et cetera, et cetera. However, you've also got to take responsibility as a guy for the things that you can change. And we, all of us, without exception, need to be working on ourselves to the greatest fucking extent possible to make ourselves into the best possible version of ourselves. Because if you're not doing that, and then you're sitting there complaining, Western women, it's all so difficult, stuff like that. Well, you've got to look yourself in the mirror and think, well, am I actually a suitable candidate for the kind of women I want to get? And if the answer is no, then there's work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think your thought experiment that you talked about before we came on was very good, which is, would you date you? Taking your ego completely out of it, seeing yourself as a hawk's eye view of yourself without any emotion, almost like an avatar you're playing, would you date you? Or what level of woman do you think you're genuinely worth without narcissism involved? What do you think you should be banging? What value are you actually bringing to the table? What is your sexual market value? And if you don't know how to map that out, get in touch, because we can help you do that. But essentially, what's your financial position? How much social status do you have? How much charisma do you have? How in shape are you? What does your life look like? How exciting is it to be you, right? How much kind of vibe do you bring to proceedings? All of these factors, right? I think guys have this entitled mindset of thinking they just should, get a hot girl. It's like, well, what are you fucking bringing to the table? Let's not forget that women live in the easiest time possible ever for them dating, right? It's the most globalized the dating market has ever been. Women's expectations have gone up, not just because you're competing with Stavros on his yacht in Dubai. You're now competing with AI, right? So made up statistics with their APAC. So the dating market is really, and let's be honest, I think most clients we've got a cool collection of guys on the edge, but a few of those dudes, if we're being brutally honest, cold light of day, I mean, they've really, really got to think about leveling up their value across the board, because it's like, what the fuck are they bringing to table, right? Women, yeah. We all know the evolutionary psychology doesn't lie. We all know women are hypergamous. That means they mate across and upwards, propagation of the species. That's nothing new. Women are trying to get the best deal they can. Men are also trying to get the best deal. That's not to men aren't hypergamous in a way. Men will trade in their wife for 50 years for a hot 18-year-old any day of the week, most of them, right?
If so they men could,
are,
yeah.
Women are, yeah, if they could, if they can. So it's not just a women thing. It's like everyone's trying to get the best deal, as you say, which is very correct. I think there's this kind of sexist slant towards, oh, it's just women trying to fuck men over. It's not, no, men are also trying to get the best deal they possibly can, let's be honest. I think guys just need to take a look in the mirror and think, right, how can I level up across the board? And again, leveling up for women shouldn't be the metric here. It should be doing it for yourself. And as a byproduct of leveling up, you will get better women. But I think guys need to really take a hard look at what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, but then on the other hand, it's also sort of a nuanced thing as well, isn't it? Because then just to, as always, we sort of end up kind of contradicting ourselves, because then on the other hand, you can also make the argument that the things that people think you need to get in order to get hot, you know, the top tier women won't necessarily get you that either. So people think, oh, it's all about looks, or they think, okay, it's all about money, or I mean, status probably will get you there, to be fair, but putting that slightly to one side, you know, okay, I'll get an Armani suit, I'll get a fucking, you know, I'll get a Lambo, I'll get, you know, a penthouse apartment, and then I'll get the women. And yes, that's going to give you some access, but again, those things on their own, while we should all be working, well, whatever lifestyle you want is going to be different for everybody, but we should be working to be the best that we can be and possibly attain some of those things. That also is not actually enough on its own. We kind of also, and that's why we've got this whole course of the edge, because you also need the other bit, which is the interpersonal skill in order to draw the women into your world magnetically, right?
Yeah, agreed. I think guys have this, we know plenty of guys who are pretty rich and not bad looking, but they just have zero charisma. They're just boring fucks, right? They're just not very exciting. Yeah. They don't have exciting lives. They don't have much passion, much riz, as the kids call it, right? They don't have much social draw. There's no seductive tendency there. There's not much fun. They're not living this kind of adventure. Their ability to draw people in, almost cult leader-like, is completely zero. They've always got anti-charisma. And it's like, women don't fucking be around that either. You're almost better off being a broke loser, but having incredible levels of charisma, which you can absolutely work on, than being a rich guy with zero charisma. I mean, I would take that any day, to be actually, would I? Fuck no. I don't know. Be rich with charisma, that would be the best thing.
It's a really interesting thing. And then, because guys, I think they watch the Manosphere content, you know, they watch Fresh and Fit, whatever, and they think, right, okay, so I've got to be jacked, I've got to be, you know, as tall as possible, I've got to be good looking, I've got to probably own a Lambo, six figures, you know, what, all of that. And they're not wrong in thinking that those are attractive qualities. You know, obviously, if you've got those things, that's going to make you look better than if you work in the local Greggs, which is a bakery store for non-UK viewers of this. But on the other hand, again, if you achieve those things, but you've got zero, your interpersonal skills are not very good, you don't have that, it is like you said, it sounds dark tribe, but it is almost that cult leader thing, isn't it? Are you able to draw them, these women, into your reality? Are you able to make them fascinated with you, right? And if you haven't got that, then either you're going to get taken advantage of as a rich guy or a guy who's successful, or you're going to get women, but they're probably not really going to be, you know, the ones that you actually genuinely want.
Yeah, I think Neville Ravikant, he talks about that in his kind of the book that Tim Ferriss made.
Yeah.
Of his, you know, the Indian guy who grew up with no money and now a $1 billion tech investor or venture capitalist or whatever. But he said, if he was giving a breakdown of the top three skill sets to learn, and he said your ability to persuade and influence people is the number one skill set to learn. And it's a skill set to learn. That was the point he made. And it is. Persuasion, sales, charisma, seductive tendencies, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
It is a skill. Absolutely is. You can increase your charisma. You can increase your... They always talk about the charisma breakdown being power, presence, and warmth, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, if you can work on that, right? And, we're both examples of guys who have worked on that. I'm not saying we're Pete Davidson or Russell Brand level of Riz by any means, but if you looked at the old versions of us, before we were actually consciously worked on this stuff, it's night and day difference, isn't it? To how we're able to draw the ducks that produce a message and also date And cast, you're almost casting a spell, and I'm not saying we're some magicians, but it's absolutely, we are both proof that you can work on this stuff. You know, whether you guys, you've got people watching me are like fucking uncharismatic. So, but I know on a personal level that I am more charismatic than I used to be. Even if globally it doesn't mean much, right?
Well,
I know it's a skill that you can work on.
The thing about charisma as well, I think it is slightly subjective. I think that you can be charismatic, but that doesn't mean that everybody's going to like you. So say, for example, you could take like Trump, or you could take, say for example, in the UK, like Nigel Farage, UK politician, you could argue he's charismatic, right? I mean, a lot of people like his message. A lot of people obviously bought into him in the past, whatever. I personally think he's a bit of a wanker. So I can sort of see, intellectually the charisma, but it doesn't really work on me because I don't really like him very much. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same, I think, probably for all of us. You know, there's going to be people out here, there's going to be haters watching this now, you know, masturbating in their mother's bathroom, going, oh, those wankers are, and, you know, and writing nasty comments. And they'll be thinking, well, these wankers have got no charisma. And that's fine, because you're not going to appeal to everybody all the time. So that's another thing to bear in mind. However, I think what is different for me is that when I go on a date with a girl who is open to me, right? She's amenable to me. She's not necessarily a yes girl, but she likes the look of me. She kind of likes my vibe, whatever. I get her on the date. I'm very confident now that in most cases I can sit down with that girl and I can talk to her and communicate with her in such a way that it draws her in. And so she is attracted to me and she wants to take things further. You know what I'm saying? And that is definitely something that I wasn't able to do. I certainly wasn't able to do that as a teenager or in my early 20s. And it's certainly something that I've got much better at over the years with lots of practice. So in the sense of like, can you improve the skill set? You definitely can.
Yes, I'd agree with that. And the proof's in the pudding, right? I've seen your hit rate, and my hit rate is always pretty good. Like, I can go out and, you know, the old version of me, it would maybe take me in London 30 approaches to get a date. This kind of leveled up higher sexual market version with kind of more amenable social skills that I'm consciously working on. I mean, I am kind of leveraging the foreign thing being in Brazil, but, you know, I'm one in three approaches I'm getting a date, or one in two approaches I'm getting a date here with hot women. And yeah, so that the actions and the kind of stats don't lie. If you're getting, we always see this with clients who have leveled up their value, they're able to put in way less reps with the approaching and get way more dates. And so that's a good way of kind of measuring where you're at with this stuff in terms of not just the charisma, but I guess building your own value, or how high is your sexual market value? How many cold approaches does it take you to get dates? That's yes, a good thing to measure. Now, obviously somewhere like London, it's a harder place to play. If I was back in London, I'm not saying I'm going to get a date every two or three approaches by any means. But being in Brazil, where there's a bit of foreign factor, and I know what I'm doing, and I'm constantly trying to level my value up, yeah, my hit rate is about one in three approaches a date, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, if you think of it on a global sense.
Yeah. But your hit rate, I mean, your hit rate in London would still be better than most people's, obviously, because you know, the value that you have, that you've obviously worked on yourself. Obviously, you understand this stuff as well. You've been teaching it for years. So even in a place, and this is the thing, I mean, there are definitely places that are harder rather than easier. And we all know that. And we'll get clients who say, well, I'm stuck in, you know, this certain city in the US and it's really difficult here and et cetera. And yes, it probably is objectively more difficult than if you were in Bogota, which is why you should come on the bootcamp. But people are still having sex there. People are still getting together. It's still happening, you know, so you've just got to maximize your chances. Well, how do you maximize your chances in each interaction? Well, it's by working on all of these different things. And it's also, but most importantly, probably it's by working on your charisma, your edge, your riz, whatever you want to call it, that X factor. It's working on that. It's the interpersonal skills that are the most important part of this, I think.
I think they are. I think this Chateau Hartis article that we're both familiar with, that we can link, guys can get in touch, send us an email, info@jamestoss.com or troy@realtroyfrancis.com if you want a link to the article, but it's called State of Mind. We can send it to you. But his argument for the article is whatever the fucking whatever you're doing in life, whether you're a fucking, you know, you own a football team or you're fucking the local milkman, you know, go through life with this attitude that you are the fucking boss.
Yes.
Because that's propagate your reality, right?
So yeah. Women are going to take you at how you see yourself. It's all about your own state of mind, how you see yourself, right? Because life is a single person game. Everything we put in our own way is based on our kind of, like, the way I think about it from watching a bit of Wes Watson is you've got this kind of hero version of yourself, higher consciousness version, and you've got kind of the victim, the lower consciousness version that operates from fear and shame and guilt. And throughout the day, you have, you know, you can step into either one of the hero or the victim. Often it's and it's very small things. It's like you see the girl at the bus stop, do you do the approach? If you do the approach, it's a vote for the hero version. If you don't do the approach, it's a vote for the loser version. In the gym, do you go to the gym if you're not feeling it? If you do, vote for the hero. If you don't, vote for the victim. Do you do the extra rep in the gym or the extra things you are going to do? Historically, where I think there's been a disconnect between how I want to see myself and kind of how my subconscious sees myself, it's when I don't stick to what I say I'm going to do. And so you lose, you don't build self-trust, right? So you lose,
yeah.
You can't build the confidence. So the Latin for confidence literally translates to self-trust, right?
Right. Yeah. Sorry, that's go ahead. Interesting. And it kind of like, you lose, it's interesting, and you lose respect for yourself as well, don't you? In an odd way, you know, you don't make that approach. You know, you should have done it. You didn't go to the gym that day. You didn't do that piece of work you were meant to do. And you kind of like, you can brush it off, but underneath, you know that you weren't acting in alignment with your goals and where you actually wanted to get to. I just wanted to sort of like, I mean, just bringing it back to the title and why guys deserve to fail in the dating game. I mean, again, I find this whole nuance of like money and status and stuff quite fascinating in how all of this interplays, because we've talked about this quite a lot. And I believe that things like money and status, for example, are much more important actually than perhaps I previously thought. You know, I came from the cheeky chappy sort of early 2000s London day game thing, where it's just like, oh yeah, just learn a bit of banter, you know, tell her she's got nice shoes, tell her she's got the second nicest shoes in the club, and you know, a little bit of bamboozlery and you can get the girl. And I don't believe that anymore. Or at least I don't believe that is a very sustainable solution. I think that women want real value in men. And so part of when I'm saying most guys deserve to fail in the dating game, part of that is like because I think Mike Sartain says it well. Money is a proxy for competency, isn't it, in men? And what women look for is competency, right? So if you're somebody who has made money, or at least, and we're not talking about being a trillionaire, but you've made some money, or at least you can, in some other way, you know, you've got some status, or you can demonstrate some sort of competency, women find that attractive. And so I think kind of what's partly at the root of this is we get a lot of guys who come to us and there's just not a lot going on of anything. You know, they're probably not going to the gym enough. They're not really smashing it in their career, trying to really make something of themselves. They're not really pushing themselves out of their comfort zone in terms of their social game. And so it's just on every level, it's all a little bit weak, a bit wishy-washy. And it's sort of like, it's not this direct correlation, become a multimillionaire and then you'll bang a Victoria's Secret model necessarily. But the fact that you are pushing yourself in that direction, I'm going to be fucking successful no matter what, that in itself is attractive, and that's going to make you more attractive to the women around you.
Yeah, I think just to touch on that, I think there's two things that women find very, very attractive in men. I think it's this kind of Errol Flynn, devil may care, just vibe to life, right? Kind of the good, bad boys, we'd call it, the Daniel Craig's James Bond, the 70% good, 30%, you know, ruthless monster, that kind of, that capacity for violence, that inner bad boy, but he chooses not to use it. That's one thing they find extremely attractive as an attitude to life. And it could be summed up as kind of devil may care, I guess, as an attitude. The other thing I find incredibly attractive is emotional resilience, because it's kind of this David Goggins mindset of this internet meme of unfuckwithable. Nothing anyone can say or do touches me. So anything that happens, I'm going to be okay. A bit like the Jocko Willink, anything that happens, it's just as good, right? And that in itself is incredibly attractive, because essentially, again, thinking from evolutionary principles, evolutionary biology, those were the kind of men who survived and propagated their genes. When the shit hit the fan, when the fucking rival tribe came in, when the fucking, you know, the charge of the woolly mammoth, whatever, these are the guys that are able to keep their cool and come out of it unscathed, because they just can't be touched emotionally, right? So they don't get frantic, they don't get, you know, in a flap. And I think if guys, that's the ultimate two kind of traits to propagate, if you're thinking about a very attractive, you know, character development for women. It's the ability, it's this devil may care attitude, so fun to life, slightly sexual, dark triad, fun, playful, enjoying yourself, and then completely unfuckwithable, just emotionally, untouchable. Nothing anyone can say or do touches you. It's basically stoicism in a nutshell, right? What can you control? Your actions, your reactions, your responses, and just having that on lockdown, really bedding that down as a mindset. It's like Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, right? You can always choose your attitude to life. There is a gap between the action and the response. And within that gap is your ability to choose your attitude. So if you can combine those two things, I think that's where you can develop a very, very, and it's absolutely a learned skill. You can develop a very, very attractive attitude, which women love to be around.
Yeah, and I do think it's that attitude that is the most attractive thing, certainly initially. And it sounds a bit woolly. I mean, I often find myself talking about energy and stuff these days, which just sounds completely like, yeah, man, it's all about the energy. But it really fucking is. Like the energy.
It really is.
I'm completely sold
on that. I know we've both gone down kind of Wes Watson rabbit hole and him shouting and screaming. He's a scary motherfucker to have to deal with in the showers in the prison, wouldn't he? Like when you drop the soap. But, you know, he leveraged it. He often quotes Tesla and Einstein, and you can't argue with it because these quotes are online and they were obviously smart fucks. But they say the secrets to the universe are found through frequency, energy, and vibration. And it's true, right? Yeah. If you're operating at this kind of high frequency, which is inner peace, compassion, sounds a bit corny, but love, you're in a good place, right? Whereas if you're kind of operating from shame, guilt, and fear, you're in a bad place.
And so it's also, I think, and also just to touch on that as well. I mean, the other thing is about is consistency, isn't it? Wes Watson, I was listening to one of his things this morning. He was talking about this as actually a lot of these guys do, which is like, look, it doesn't matter how you feel. You know, you get up, you feel like shit, you still got to go and do the thing anyway. You know, like he was talking about, he talks about it slightly luxury problems, but he'll sometimes talk about it like when he's, oh, I had to make this fucking YouTube video and I've just got off the plane and then I've got to do another call. It's like, bro, you're making a fucking YouTube video. But still, it's the same thing. It's like he probably doesn't feel like making that video. He doesn't feel like going to the gym. He doesn't feel like doing whatever the fuck it is. But you have to do it anyway, regardless of the feelings. You have to show up. You know,
yeah, and just to touch on that, I think that's a really, I think it's something that I admittedly, because I was unaware of it, I would often base my life decisions on how I felt.
Yeah.
And really, you know, his point is, no, men base their decisions on values. Doesn't matter how you fucking feel, you base it on values, right? I value learning Spanish. Every fucking day, if I've said to myself, I'm going to do 15 minutes of Spanish, I will do the 15 minutes of Spanish. Doesn't matter how I feel. It's got nothing to do with it. And that's his point. It's not to do with your thoughts or your feelings. It's based on values of who you want to be as a man. And I think it's actually a good premise to use, because I think it's the Tony Robbins quote, right? Good times create soft men. And I think one of the biggest issues with men in the Anglosphere is we're just fucking soft. We've got luxury problems. We're at the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we don't have any real fucking issues. So then we invent problems and we always self-sabotage because we don't know what we want. Right?
Yeah.
We don't need it.
Yeah. Know? And I mean, it's a bit fucking pathetic. I mean, we're in a difficult position as dating coaches. Get the tiny violin out, because, you know, on the one hand, we've got to try and be understanding and empathetic, and we've got to try and really help these guys. And we've all been there, so we know it's hard, and et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, if we're talking about going up to a girl and saying, hi, you look nice, I had to come over and say hello, and you can't even fucking do that, or even ask her for directions, and you can't even do that. It's a bit fucking pathetic, isn't it? Really, in the big scheme of things. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, we're not saying fucking climb Mount Everest without any, like, safety harness. We're talking about, like, going up and having a conversation with somebody who is inevitably going to be physically much less strong and capable than you are. And the worst thing probably that's going to happen is she's going to say, oh, thanks, I've got a boyfriend, and that's it. I mean, it's fucking nothing. You know, I mean, it really is.
I agree. I think you kind of have to go down this path and do hundreds of reps so to realize it's not a bigger deal. Because, like, I'm completely on board with what you're saying. But the counter argument, which is actually legit, is we have taught dudes who literally are in the armed forces, right? Special forces, who are shitting themselves going to approach a woman, and they literally kill people for a living. Yeah. So like any skill set, it is actually very nerve-wracking to learn, and that's why we exist. That's why the job exists, because if people could teach themselves to do this, we wouldn't have a job. But because we know how hard it is, and really it's a path to emotional mastery and self-mastery, being able to consistently go out and force yourself out of your comfort zone and force yourself to speak to women, you know, that in itself is a process that you go through, and you become a better man because of it. There's not a single, you know, cold approach as a skill set for me has been monumental, because it you master it. It's like a keystone habit. It's a bit like going to the gym. There are so many benefits to learning how to cold approach, because you have to deal with your own emotions, your own fears. You have to be disciplined. You have to stick to what you're going to say. You have to drive yourself into anxiety and out of your comfort zone consistently. And you have to get flaked on and deal with rejection. And that's just a handful of things I can think of off the cuff. But I really think it's a great process guys should go through just to build a bit of emotional resilience.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to learn. It's the basis of all dating, because essentially, like we talked about yesterday, even if guys are using digital leverage to fish girls offline, you've still got to learn how to be a charismatic, you know, empathetic, seductive guy in the flesh in order to sleep with women and keep them. So you can't avoid learning social skills. And I believe cold approach is still the base for all of that. You know?
And one of the things I found useful about learning and doing, you know, cold approaches over the years has been that even if those, obviously the majority of those cold approaches were not successful, otherwise I would have slept with 10,000 women, which I haven't. So, you know, obviously you're looking at a lot of failure as well as the successes that you get, but it's all of it has been useful, because in many ways there's nothing more difficult than walking up to a complete stranger and who potentially you've got nothing in common with, and having to on the spot generate some sort of conversation with them and attempt to get some kind of rapport. Now, obviously, sometimes it fails, sometimes it goes really well. But regardless, you're putting yourself up there on the front line time and time again. Now, in contrast, then when you go on a date's actually, I'm not saying dates are easy, but in comparison, you know, she's sort of pre-qualified. It's a bit of a warmer lead. It's a bit more of a relaxed setting. It makes your dating so much easier because you've had to do the really difficult thing. And now you're in a somewhat almost an easier position. But if you haven't done the really difficult thing of doing the cold approaching, then, you know, okay, you've got to learn dating skills, but it's you're not going to have that innate advantage that somebody who's done a ton of approaches has.
100% agree. It's almost a magic trick, isn't it, when you think about it?
It
really is. Like, but you also realize the power of just manning up and being direct and going for what you want in life, which
awesome. On a sort of slightly related note, I don't know about you, but I always found night game became easier after I started doing daytime stuff, because once again, and you know, night game has its own myriad of problems as well, but at least you're in an environment where it's sort of socially kind of expected that guys are going to come and chat to girls and stuff like that, so it's a little bit easier in that sense. So again, if you've been on, you know, Oxford Street on a wet Wednesday and you've got up to 20 girls and, you know, started conversations with them and managed to keep some of those conversations going, that's great training. So when you're in the lounge bar, it's actually kind of less of a big deal. It's like, okay, actually, this is kind of on easy mode, really.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And obviously, if guys are going to come to Bogota, you'll get to go to the best club in the world with us and see us charge around the head as chicken, which, of course, is Teatron. I don't mind saying the name. We usually don't give away the keys to the kingdom, do we, for locations or accommodation, but it's a well-known club. I think it's the biggest anything goes. I think it's the biggest nightclub in Latin America by amount of people in the club. And it's just a Goliath of a night out, isn't it? It really is. It's, actually, I was a bit under the weather last time. I missed the trick with Teatron. You managed the troops, didn't you?
Yeah. It was great. I mean, it's always a good night. It was really good. Actually, the time that we'd went before, remember it was raining and there were slightly fewer people. But that time, when I went last time, it was really fucking good, as always. I mean, it's so many rooms, so many girls. It's just like crazy.
And you had the best dancers I've ever seen next year as well. Michael L. cutting some shapes on the dance floor.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a sign.
What happened to Michael L? Is he still like on the scene, or is he just kind of
vanished? Yeah, no, he is around. He is not going to, I don't think, joining us in Bogota, but I'm in contact with him. He's had quite a lot of work on, but he's out and about and doing his thing, doing his line dancing. Couple of comments. So Hassan's edit says, being a suitable husband and what leads up to that isn't made a priority. So I think probably what he's talking about here is, oh, you know, women want this kind of shallow playboy type thing. And they're, you know, like maybe he's thinking, oh, you know, they're not prioritizing guys who show more, I don't know, sensible kind of husband-like qualities, right? But if that's what you're saying, I might be misinterpreting it, but I think that's the line you're going down. But the problem is we just have to deal with the world as it is. Women are viscerally turned on by certain things, and they're not viscerally turned on by other things. You know, the reality is they're viscerally turned on, for the most part, by the stuff that we teach in The Edge. Now, when she's, you know, 40 and she, or 37 and she's looking for a husband, that may change slightly. The criteria might change a little bit. And she might be like, okay, well, this dude's, he's a bit fucking boring, but, you know, he's got some money. He's going to be able to buy a nice house, blah, blah, blah. But is she massively turned on by that guy? Maybe not. You know, maybe this is why so many divorces happen, because women end up kind of marrying for convenience more than for desire. I mean, the whole thing is a shit show. It's a very difficult problem. But from our perspective, what we have to do is understand the dual mating strategy that women have, and then try to work that to our advantage, I guess.
I think it's also quite different depending on where you travel in the world, because I think there is an argument to be made that actually Eastern Europe, especially former Soviet Union, you're going to get more women who are just willing to settle down with quote unquote the boring guy because they want stability.
Yeah.
And more based around women having a lack of financial independence. So they're more likely to not be, they don't have as many perceived options and they don't have as much perceived power in the East. So they're more willing to stay in with, you know, Sergey, who runs the local petrol station, who dates her from the age of 14, just because they don't have the same level of options. And it's not the same kind of, it's not this go, you know, get up and go girl culture that's encouraged in the West. Yeah. Like, oh, you go girl, you go and sleep with loads of men. It's cool, you know, you girl power, all this. There's none of that nonsense out there. So you can actually probably, Hassan, just if you're willing to go to Eastern Europe and just cold approach, you're likely to find a girl who's absolutely up for just settling down and getting married at a very young age. It's very traditional in large parts of the world still. So we're just talking about the Anglosphere.
It's still doable. It's still doable. I've also got a slightly controversial opinion on this whole, you know, how there's this dichotomy of like there's provider or there's the provider and the lover. And it's like you're either the beta chump, you know, who's basically giving her money and she's not that attracted to you, but you'll do because, you know, you've got the resources, or you're the fucking alpha Chad and she just wants to rip your clothes off and fuck you. I actually increasingly think it's more subtle and nuanced than that. I think that even what they'll say is for short-term mating, women look more for the, you know, the alpha Chad, like the looks and the, you know, and all the rest of it. And I think that's true. But I also think they're kind of weighing up the other stuff as well, because I think a lot of the time, they're not necessarily, I mean, yeah, they might be horny one night and she's like, yeah, I really want to get dick down. But I think there's always that element with women of like, could this potentially last longer? So I do think if the guy shows he's got some resources, you know, and some sort of like some fight, you know, and he's got some more of that slightly longer term aspect to him, but he's also got the riz and he's got the sex appeal. I think that only works in your favor. I don't think it's like one cancels out the other and it's this completely black and white thing.
I agree with you. I mean, there's that book that Dangerous Men and Adventurous Women, right? Where absolutely the archetype that every woman wants is that bad boy she converts into the long-term option. So I think if they can find it in one man, and if you understand this stuff and you're able to show both sides of it, we talk about this, the guy called Vincent Haranam talked about this idea of the dark gentleman, but basically has the bad boy traits, but also has these husband qualities. That's the perfect balance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Women are actually looking for. So if you can, I think it's about showing different sides to this at different times, if you're smart enough to be able to cultivate that. So maybe at the beginning, you are showing more of a kind of aloof, charismatic, charming player guy. But then as she gets more emotionally invested, if you like her as well, you actually showcase a bit more of the other side as well to keep her there. If that makes sense.
I think, I suppose what we've been kind of doing a little bit, I guess, in more recent years, is almost sort of showcasing a little bit of both in a way. So on the one hand, you're wearing the nice suits, the nice tailored suits, nice fitted shirts and stuff like that. But maybe you've got some tattoos, or you're trying to also showcase a little bit of that other darker triad energy as well. And I think that works on a couple of levels. I think firstly, it's showing that you've got these different dimensions to you. So she's like, yeah, he could be good for a one night fuck, but also maybe there's some potential for something longer term there, which, let's face it, ultimately a lot of women, really, they actually do want something a bit longer term often for the, you know.
Well, not just women, right? I think I can speak for you and me, where we're now both for the last year or so, really, I don't really tend to have one night stands anymore. If I meet a girl, and I'm willing to sleep with her, I tend to try and see her repeatedly. It's very, very rare I'll have a one-off dalliance with a girl. If I'm choosing to go out with them and I've met them and I like them, I'll see them repeatedly. And it's every single girl. I can't remember the last time I had a one-night stand, actually, and just never saw the girl again. It's always kind of almost these honeymoon romances where I have that emotional connection, which is completely different to what I used to do, which is just get them through the door, one in, one out, never see them again. I've changed a lot in terms of what I actually enjoy, which is that the changing nature, the variety, but also having that closeness, that emotional connection, that honeymoon romance stage, you'd say, of the lost stage of the relationship. I really enjoy that part.
Definitely. Then when you get to the, when you get to the IKEA stage, that's when the problem kick in.
The furniture.
Yeah. We've got 140 people watching, by the way, so we need 140 likes on the video. And also 140 people should sign up for the Edge 3.0 immediately, or just email
us. For the guys that maybe are joining late, because this is the second last live stream before we're going to do before the Edge kicks off on the Friday the 15th, do you want to just give them a quick summary about what the Edge is and also Bogota? Maybe just so they're aware.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an online program which is called The Edge. This is the third iteration of it. So The Edge 3.0, the new improved version. It's starting on Friday. Basically, you get access when you join. You'll get access to a series of pre-recorded video modules that myself and James have made, plus a bunch of live webinar content that we filmed in previous courses, where students have asked questions and we've, you know, gone really into depth with a lot of this stuff. You also, more importantly, almost get access to 12 weeks worth of live webinars with ourselves, but also a host of experts on different aspects of game, but also masculinity in general. So we've got Dave Lee, one of the world's leading hormone experts, talking about testosterone and, you know, other hormonal aspects that you need to know about. We've got people talking about, I mean, we've got Sweeney talking a bit more about the social kind of circle kind of thing. We've got fitness guys. We've got combat sports guys. We've got nutrition guys. I think we're talking about hallucinogens this time. I mean, there's just a whole gamut, like the mental health side of stuff as well, actually.
Bonaparte as well. Let's not forget Bonaparte, the resident sex
coach. Yes.
And talking about one of the biggest topics over four webinars, which is sexual shame and how to get rid of that.
Yeah.
Because it's something that we all carry to some degree, some more than others. And it's about recognizing that and eliminating that. And he says, you know, his whole tagline is, your birthright as a man should be amazing sex. And if you're not doing that, and if you feel ashamed about that, that's something you've got to fix. And it's true. If there's any shame around sex, that's our only prerogative to be alive. We're born, we reproduce, we die. That's an issue that needs to be addressed. And that's why it's such a big area of the Edge, like fixing sexual shame. Because once you fix the sexual shame, that allows you to build on a solid foundation and build sexual confidence and sexual magnetism, which he also teaches. So he's going to be a massive draw. He gives a lot of value.
You're right. I mean, that is actually that, along with the hormonal stuff that we talk about, those, if you had to prioritize two, I mean, those things are so fucking important, because being comfortable being a sexual being a sexual man, particularly in today's dating culture where there is this sort of political correctness and stuff, being able to do that, but in a suave kind of charming way, it's massively pays dividends. And so many guys don't really get it, or they fumble it. And that's often where the problem lies. So the Bonaparte stuff, the sexual shame, the sexual confidence stuff is so, so key to all of this. And then so the cost of that is only £579 basically for 12
weeks.
And
just to add that they also get direct mentoring from myself, you and Les on a private WhatsApp group where we put them through their paces with the approaching for 10 weeks. So we gamify and we give you remote day game accountability, which is the biggest problem to solve with all of this stuff. Because it's all very well doing a boot camp with a coach, but when you go back to rainy Washington, D.C. or rainy, you know, London, and you're on your own, it's like, can you actually fucking man up and speak to women, right? And that's what we help build in through repetition, through James Clear, like habit formation, atomic habits. We gamify it. We give you tasks to do. We get you out of the house. We give you wings, and we get you approaching consistently as part of the package. And all of that combined is only £579. It's life-changing amounts of value for fuck all. We've gone for the McDonald's, earning less than the child miners in the Sierra Leone blood diamond mines per head. Myself, Troy and Les taking home nothing but peanuts and hot air. We're taking home hopium. We're giving lots of value and then taking home hopium as our payment, because we're not getting any money for it if you work it out on a pound per pound basis. But we're doing it because we genuinely believe in this stuff. We've also gone through the process ourselves of learning this and leveling up, and we're on our own journeys and we're passionate about it. And then If you want to also join us in Bogota, it's going to be an amazing boot camp, 4th to the 7th of April, day game, night game, bar game, grey area apps, myself, Troy, three other coaches and 10 clients. Seven spaces sold, three spaces remaining. Send Troy an email, troy@realtroyfrancis.com with either title Edge3 or Bogota Bootcamp and include your WhatsApp number and he will jump on the blower and explain the options. But hurry up because the Edge 3 starts officially this Friday. So that's it. There's no more people. We're giving guys £100 off if they want to join last minute. So the cost is usually £579, but you can join it for £479. And the Bogota Bootcamp, three spaces remaining, £2,797, £1,000 less than usual. It will require a 50% deposit if you want to join that, three spaces left. So that's it. If you want to join the Edge, you've got 2 days. It starts on Friday. And if you want to join us for Bogota, it's first come, first serve. There's three spaces from seven, from 10 remaining, seven taken. So there you go. That's in a nutshell what you get with us. Clearly, there's 140 fools that like listening to us waffle on in our non-charismatic way. So you might as well pay for the privilege of 12 more weeks of this nonsense.
Absolutely. And actually to meet us in person and hang out with us and see how desperately uncharismatic we actually are in real life. Which will be
Well, of course, we're missing the world's least charismatic man, which is of course Les Thomas. He's holed up in Miami, but we're doing a good filling in for him instead.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you meet up with old McSweeney in the end, or is that yet to come?
We need to talk about that afterwards because I think it's tomorrow. So we need to figure out the time for doing this tomorrow because that's a good point.
Well, no, prioritize. Fine. We've got more day now as well because the Edge actually kicks off on Friday.
Before we finish, there's just a couple of points here. So
and that's Ali, who you met a few times, I believe, Troy. Ali from I'm not sure where he lives in the US.
Highly recommend Edge Plus Bootcamp package. It's changed my dating life. Cheers. Look at that.
The last iteration, and he came to. He did the last, he did the Edge 2. Ali, if you're watching this and you'd like to join, even for a day in Bogota, you're more than welcome. Very cool group of guys. And if you want to join on the Edge last minute at a discount price, just for the accountability and the banter, you're more than welcome to join as well. So let us know.
Yeah. So a couple of comments here. Minotaur878 says, hey, gents, have either of you ever cold approached outside the UK urban areas, let's say places like the Yorkshire Dales, Cotswolds?
Well, if you go to the Yorkshire Dales, I know a bloke. I know that's not the same, is it? I was going to say I know a bloke who will wingman you, but I don't think it's the same place. So I'm getting confused between York and the Yorkshire.
I mean, look.
Is that the same place? Am I making that up? No, it definitely isn't it.
Yeah, I've always seen people living there as being friendly. I mean, look, I don't know, man. I mean, we always end up, we kind of joke about this stuff, really, because, I mean, the thing with the UK, really, I mean, to be honest, really, London's the only game in town. Manchester's
UK,
okay.
Let's be honest, UK is so weak for women. It's so weak. The reason I left 7 years ago, and there's a reason that you travel most of the year yourself.
Yes.
Because the hottest women in the world are not found in the UK.
They're not really. And there are.
London's in its own bubble, right? London is basically a country on itself. The women there are quite hot. It's a reasonable place to date. It's a big populated place. But unless you're in London, honestly, your time is better spent getting on a fucking squeezy jet flight out of the UK and going somewhere cheap.
Yeah.
And just sucking up and
getting. And also as well, London, there are, you know, very beautiful women here and stuff like that. But there's also very high competition as well because there's a lot of high value men here. So you got that. But I mean, secondly, the main thing you need, especially if you're first getting into this stuff, is volume. You need to have access to volume. And if you're wandering around the fucking Yorkshire Dales, right, you know, you maybe see once every 3 days you see a half attractive woman. It's just not enough, you know. So even just from that point of view, it's like fuck whether they're friendly or not. You need, you know, most of your, if you're starting out, especially most of your approaches are going to lead nowhere anyway, so you need to do as many of them as possible so that you get the skill set down. So no, man, you know go somewhere bigger. You need somewhere where there's a decent population size, preferably not in England. And then Apple Nuts says, the fact that the average guy must put in colossal effort to have much success, why do you then say a guy who doesn't want to put in that kind of effort deserves to fail, shouldn't be this hard? Well, I mean, the title was slightly provocative, you know, to be honest. I mean, it's like all of us, we have to clickbait a little bit to get you guys in here and watching. But I mean, the truth of the matter is you have to accept life on life's terms. And the sad reality is it is a very competitive dating market. And we all kind of know the sorts of things that women are attracted to. There's no big secret. It's out there in the culture, right? You know, there's characters like Christian Grey on Fifty Shades of Grey, right? You know, billionaire, rich, good looking, wears nice suits, dominant, likes spanking them, has a secret red. I mean, like, we all know the James Bond. We all know the kinds of things that women like and find sexy, right? And if a guy is sitting there eating Cheetos and going, yeah, well, fuck all of that, why should I have to do that? Then he kind of does deserve to fail in a way, because why should women entertain that dude? You know, I know the title's a little bit harsh, but if you were a hot woman and you had the choice, would you say, all right, yeah, okay, he's got a dad, but I'll fuck him because, you know, he's a nice guy. I mean, and you've got all these options. Why would you do that? Why would you entertain that?
Yeah, agreed. And I just get the vibe of, you know, this comment strikes me as a guy who doesn't actually go out and approach, right? I think there's a great quote from, I think it's Mark Manson, but action stems from passion. Passion stems from action, not the other way around. So when you really check out the dating market and you stop going out to clubs and bars and you're not even swiping on Tinder, you just give up. Of course, you're going to feel fucking bad about it. But when you're actually going and putting the reps in, you know, approaching consistently, socializing, it generates a passion. It generates a desire to get better. And so I think guys, we see the black pillars that just have checked out entirely of dating or never really started dating because they're too young and they just checked out before they were told it wasn't possible. You know, no wonder they're kind of disillusioned by it because they're not actually doing any reps and they haven't put any work in. But
actually, once
when you actually go out there and you're social, it builds on itself and you start actually enjoying. There's very few guys we take out and throw into like 10 approaches, right? Who aren't feeling then, even if they're a bit low frequency and victim mindset before, as soon as you've done 10 reps, you're feeling good, you're feeling upbeat, you're kind of at a higher frequency vibration, right? And you don't give a fuck. You're like, you're feeling good. And you're just like, it's all about the process, right? The reason I started Day Game was because I wanted to obviously level up what I was doing dating wise, but it was just because I was lonely as well, right? I almost did the Tom Terreri thing of using it as therapy. And I just felt better walking the house every day and talking to people. Yeah. Right. And you just feel good. It's one of these activities that connects you, makes you feel more present. You feel better. You feel more alive. Right. You feel more fulfilled as a person, just being more social. So I think a lot of perceived illnesses and depression, all this shit can just be caused by actually just getting out of the house and just being more social with people in general. That's what I found. It alleviated my perceived depression or low mood every time I did it. And still, if I'm feeling a bit victim mindset, every day I walk out the house, regardless of how I feel, and I'll interact with a few human beings. You know what? I feel more present. I feel more grounded. And I feel like, okay, life's okay. But if you just sit there doing booming, watching all this fucking negative content on the internet, no wonder you're fucking like, fuck all this bullshit.
Yeah. And then you kind of do deserve to fail, really, because life is the preserve of the success is the preserve of the winners, the guys who go out there and get it done and are like, fuck, I'm going to make this happen no matter what, you know? I mean,
couch it in evolutionary biology. We're just hairless apes, right? Mm. It's all about propagation of the species and survival of the species and women wanting better DNA, right, to level up the species. Why the fuck should they bang a loser and propagate with him? That's defective sperm.
Yeah, exactly. And then he says here, don't you think cold approach is a bit too difficult? It's a bit too much for the average man. I really don't, actually, because in the end, it's just talking to other human beings. I mean, it's actually
it is, right? I know it seems scary, but you're completely right. It's all it fucking is. It's going up and making noise at the opposite sex. These tiny 100-pound quivering, like, you know, imagine, like, we can physically kill, like, we're a lot more dominant. We're bigger than women. And we're the ones that are scared. I mean, fucking, what got lost in translation there? Like, we need to fucking up a bit, literally man up a bit, and just get in there, get stuck.
But like you said before, you know, there are guys who've been in the military and they've been in real life combat situations, and you know, they find it intimidating. So yes, you know, we can't sugarcoat the fact this is difficult. But the thing is, once you get into it, you get into the flow of it, it becomes easier and it actually becomes fun.
If you gamify, if you leverage our knowledge, you know, our combined knowledge, myself and Troy now is 25 years in this industry. We've gone through it all. We've seen it all. We've tried every different teaching style. We've figured out from our own life experience and teaching literally thousands of guys what works, what's the quickest way to get competent, how to make it fun, how to make it engaging, how to gamify, how to minimize the time investment so you can get on leveling up in the other areas of your life. That's why the edge is so good, because we've given you 25 years of combined knowledge to just minimize that learning curve, right? And it's for fuck all. It's not even if you're a broke motherfucker, you should be able to afford 500 quid. And if you can't, stop watching our content and go and work on your finances.
Yeah, because we're saying 479 now, aren't we? It's a special price.
479, it's even less, right? I mean, 479 for 12 weeks. I dread to think what that works out to per hour we're getting paid. it's basically ultimate self-sabotage for us, isn't it? It's selling ourselves. Yeah. That's what we do.
It really is. It really is. The Edge is open now, so you can join the online course for 479. Email me, Troy at realtroyfrancis.com or info at jamestuss.com. If you want to come to the Bogota bootcamp event, 4 days of, you know, high intensity training and carnage
on the high seas, non-sedition. Carnage on the high seas.
Night and day, one of the greatest cities for dating on the planet with some of the most beautiful women in the world. Then there's still a few spaces left for that. 2007. And again, just email us troy@realtroyfrancis.com or info@jamestuss.com.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. And I'll see you on Thursday, Mr. Francis.
Indeed. See you soon. Bye-bye.